Hey, what is up, everyone? Welcome to the Crack House Chronicles. I am Donnie, your host, and with me is a man that says when he wants to get mad at his wife and he wants to lash out, he heats up his food in the microwave, uncovered. It's Dale.
And then go to bed.
Oh, man.
What's going on, man?
Hey, bud. I'm glad to be back recording again.
It's been a while, ain't it?
It is.
Well, I guess they can't miss us. We won't go away.
We're just like cockroaches, man. We just keep coming back.
Oh, I thought you'd be curled up on the floor with your legs in there.
Yeah, that sounds like fun to me.
Oh, how you been?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
I'm all right, I think.
You think you're all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good.
We'll hope so anyway.
Yeah, we're going to hope so. Yeah, took a little time off. I had to take a little vacation, get out of town, get out of Dodge, do something different, see something different.
Well, I guess that was fun.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
Yeah, spent our whole $20 bank account.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to put some money in our Crack House account, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Just go to the website and click on the donate button, and it'll sure help out.
Maybe I can go somewhere.
Yeah, Dale will take a vacation.
Go to the trash dump or something.
That's it. You got any good shout-outs for us?
Oh, we got a few, man. We'd like to recognize a couple people who gave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review. That was really cool. Bad Brit and Caitlin Brienne.
Thank you, guys.
I mean, they left some really cool little comments there, and that's greatly, greatly appreciated.
Absolutely.
And we'd like to say a little shout-out to Frigolf Barb, which is kind of funny, but that's on Instagram. She left some really cool comments today, and we appreciate that.
We really appreciate it. And anybody that wants to give us a rate and review, go on to Apple Podcast and click that 5-star button, leave a review, or any podcast platform you listen to.
Yeah, Facebook recommendation.
Oh, anything.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we really do appreciate it. We get lots of comments from you guys, you know, saying that you really, really dig the show. And, man, it means a lot to us. So we appreciate everything you do, really.
Yep. And if your platform allows it, click that 5-star.
Five?
Yeah, five. All the way. A handful of stars.
Tell your neighbor.
Because we're a handful.
You're running into a stranger on the phone with a... Stranger on the phone. If you run into a stranger on the street with an iPhone, just grab your phone and click a 5-star for us.
Yeah, they'll appreciate it. And tell them about us, too.
Yeah. Put a sticker on their phone.
And, you know, Dale, it's something that I've been pondering over, been wanting to do a little thing to help out our listeners, you know, maybe do a voiceover thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, our little outro that we do, you know, want everyone to be safe, be careful, and all that good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to give our listeners an opportunity to do that for us.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yep. So if you want to email us at crackhousechronicles@gmail.com, and we will pick someone to do that for us.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So they get to be on the show.
Yeah, they get to be on the show, do the exit for us, and do that about once a month or so.
Oh, that'd be cool. I dig it.
Yeah, I think that'd be all right.
What do you guys think?
Yep. Let us know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, go ahead and email us, and we'll pick one and do this about once a month or so.
Yeah, I think we need to do some more interactive stuff, maybe a Facebook Live or a IG Live or something, and give away some stuff and just have some good times.
Maybe get on TikTok and do something.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll leave our clothes on, we promise.
We are roach bugs.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, bud. We are going to get in our episode.
Let's do it, because you know they're going to bitch because it's been more than 2 minutes on this preview.
Yeah, they don't like that shit, do they? We can just keep on talking.
Well, at least there's one guy don't like it. So.
Yeah, well, he can just fast forward.
Yeah,
that's
hit the skip up button.
Skip on. All right, we've got a serial killer this week that we're going to talk about, and he is from Virginia.
Well.
Yep. And he goes by the name of Charles Stannard Severance.
He goes by that, or that's his name?
That's his name.
Okay.
Charles Severance.
Okay.
And he was born...
Chuck.
Yeah. And I think his family called him Charlie. But, yeah. But Charles Severance was born on September the 25th, 1960, in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Okay.
And there's not a whole lot about his early life.
Ain't a whole lot about him, period.
No, it's just here and there. He hadn't been covered a lot, so we like these lesser known cases, so this is pretty good, and we may be all over the place, but you know, we have researched it, so we're going to give it the best we got.
Well, you know, that's our gimmick. We're always all over the place.
We are all over the place.
What the hell? This guy's picture makes it worth doing.
Yeah, we're going to post pictures of this guy. But he is the son of a Navy admiral, 2-star Navy admiral, by the way.
Yeah, that's a half a 4-star.
That's it, man.
That's all up there.
A deuce kiss? Admiral.
Give me a kiss on him.
Yeah. But he comes from a pretty prominent family. And like I said, there's not a whole lot about his younger days, but he did at one time have a political career, or an aspiring political career.
Yeah.
And at one point in his life, he ran for mayor of Alexandria in 1996.
How'd that work out for him?
Well, it was a special election, and he was part of the Independent Party.
Yes.
And he didn't win, but he did receive 490 votes.
He's right up there, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was second.
Yeah.
Right above the 184 write-ins.
Yeah. Well, the winner had only 5,000, so it was close.
The winner of that race was Kerry Donnelly. He was the incumbent and a Democrat. And then he ran for the Virginia's 8th Congressional District election in 1996 as an independent.
Right.
And he lost that race also. He did get 740 votes.
Well, there was 2 independents, so they had to split the vote. The other one only got 5,200.
Which was a little bit more respectable, but...
Well, you know, the winner was 152,000, so, oh well.
Yeah, it was a Democratic incumbent, Jim Moran.
But hell, like you said, at least there was 740 people that did vote for him.
740 people liked him.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think I have 740 people that like me. Mm.
Well, they had 303 for write-in.
And then he ran for mayor again in 2000 of Alexandria, and he lost that one again. It was a split independent party. He got 379 votes and lost to Democratic incumbent Kerry Donnelly.
Well, you know, running on a platform of putting country dancing in school should put you right over the top.
Yeah.
One of us line dancing.
I don't know. I don't have no idea.
Oh, my God. You guys are going to be pissed off at us because it was giggle time.
But now, on this campaign trail, Dale, Charles Severance, he had a lot of unusual and erratic behavior. I mean, there was one point he appeared at a campaign event dressed entirely in black with a cloak and sunglasses. And during the campaign for mayor, the city manager and police chief assigned an undercover officer to follow him around and follow the Democratic candidate around and the eventual mayor, Kerry Donnelly. And on several occasions during the campaigns, Charles Severance, he got violent. And even in one instance, during a forum in 1996, he picked up an American flag and pointed the pole.
The spiked end?
Yeah.
What do you call it? Finial?
Yeah, the finial. At Representative Jim Moran, and before running out of the building. And at another forum in 2000, Charles Severance punched one of the organizers.
Well, I can see how he got a lot of votes.
Yeah, exactly. But now the focus of his campaigns were on juvenile mental health and psychotropic drug prescriptions. And during his runs for mayor, Charles Severance responded to nearly every question by translating to talk about these topics. And in a statement in 2000, he said that a plague of child and adolescent psychiatry threatened to overwhelm Alexandria. And he went on to say that terrorism, child exploitation, and adolescent abuse by children and adolescent psychiatrists who peddle dope for profit under the guise of academia and clinical practice must be eradicated.
Right. Well, the thing is, the guy was really, really smart.
He was.
But he could have been on one of these prescriptions himself.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, he was diagnosed with 2 or 3 different disorders, but he didn't want to take his meds because they made him feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, he did graduate from the University of Virginia.
Yeah.
With a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. So he was a very smart
dude.
Yeah,
a mechanical engineer or something like that. Something, yeah.
So he's a very smart dude. And the mechanical engineering, there's not a lot of people graduate with that from Virginia. It's just a very few that complete that.
Right.
So, I mean, he had the intelligence to do that. but it didn't pan out too well for him.
No.
Because he did have some psychiatric stuff going on.
Right.
That we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Yeah, maybe that's why he was trying to push it so hard in the mayor race. He knew people need help, but he didn't want it himself, I guess.
Yep. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about his victims. He had three victims, but we're going to talk about them just a little bit later and cover each one of them. But now, when Severance was eventually caught, you know, there was, you know, they had a trial and everything, and his girlfriend at the time, her name was Linda Robra, and she gave a pretty detailed testimony on the stand. Hmm. She had testified in court that when they were together, that Charles had a beard, but he kept it really groomed and neat. But looking at all the pictures we have of him, he looks like the boogeyman.
He's wildly.
Oh, yeah, he has a wild.
Maybe somebody poured water on him like a, you know, a gremlin.
Yeah. But Linda said that, you know, he kept it neat and he always groomed it while they lived together. But he never had a job. But he did pay her $400 in rent when they were living together. And he told her that he used the money from a house they had sold in Cumberland to pay for the rent.
Hmm.
And she even described that their relationship was romantic and they had a pretty good social life. They often visited relatives and his parents and her family and two sisters and two friends. So, you know, they went out quite a bit.
It was making the rounds.
Yeah. She said that he had spoke to her about being separated from his son from a previous relationship. And she testified that he told her that someone from the Alexandria Police Department came into his home through a window and removed his son from his home.
Right. Now, I guess a little sidebar, we should go into, like, he met some lady dancing one night, right? And they hit it off pretty well and was together for, I don't know, extended period of time. You know, eventually had a son, and then some stuff went sideways and she left and took the kid, right?
Yeah, so he that's was, right.
So this all goes back to that.
Mm-hmm. I think having this his son taken away from him hit him pretty hard.
Right. Yeah, he didn't want to give up his son.
No. And even he had some psychiatric stuff going on. I think this really pushed it over the edge for him.
It pushed it up, and then it focused it on, like, I don't want to say law enforcement, but administrative and that kind of stuff.
Anybody in authority.
Yeah, authority figures or officials. He's like, you know, they came and took my kid, so they're on the shit list.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much broad stroke, all of them.
Yep. And she'd even told the court that Severance felt that these people were a threat to his family and that, you know, he was entitled to kill people. That's what, you know, he had told her. And she said that he didn't like law enforcement and said he took a particular interest in shootings when watching the news.
Hmm.
And any time a police officer was shot, he thought that was a good thing.
So he's just pissed off.
He was pissed off.
An angry, angry man.
He didn't like the legal system, and she'd even heard him talk about killing judges, cops, and their families.
Dang.
And that was once a phrase of, you know, that he said that the only good cop is a dead cop.
Dang.
But I'll tell you, you know, we're just reporting all this about Charles Severance, but us here at the Crack House, we support our guys in blue.
Yeah.
100%.
That's right.
Yep, exactly. Now, Linda, she kept two revolvers, Dale, and ammunition in her home and that she had owned before Charles Severance moved in and that she had showed him these guns. And Severance was angry because he couldn't buy guns because he had had a conviction of having a concealed weapon without a permit. And he told her she needed a smaller gun because she had smaller hands. So he convinced her to get a .22 caliber. And he also helped her pick out the .22 revolvers on the internet.
I'm sure he did.
But she ordered them over the she ordered them over the phone, and she picked them up later in Winchester, Virginia.
Oh wow! So basically, he just suckered her into buying him a gun.
Exactly.
Sound like to me.
Yep. Now Linda, she bought two guns on two different dates, and she kept one in a desk drawer there at her house, and another one in the bedroom. And she acknowledged that Charles knew where the guns were and where she kept the ammo. And he also showed her how to use the guns and how to load the .22 caliber revolver. There was one time, Dale, Linda told the court that she saw Charles cleaning a gun and asked him, "I thought you only have to clean the gun unless it's been fired."
Right.
Yes.
Red flag.
Yeah, big red flag. But now she did discover that one of the 22 caliber revolvers was missing. And when two detectives came to the house 2 days later after he had left in March of 2014. Now, Linda did testify that she had a normal, stable relationship with Charles and did not take any of his statements seriously, you know, about people being shot or anything like that. And she confirmed that she told a detective that Charles was a sweet guy and helped around the house, and she wasn't afraid of him. So, you know, I don't know how their relationship was, but evidently she wasn't.
She wasn't worried about it.
No, uh-uh.
I guess she ain't a judge.
I guess. And Linda also testified, too, that she had learned about a board game that Charles created called Mental Disorder. Yeah, and she said, I realized he wasn't a normal person and that I didn't feel safe. And a former girlfriend also testified about playing the board game that he created about the history of psychology and psychiatry. He had some mental stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I think this was all stemming from him losing his son, and he was getting pretty angry and irate. We're going to get into talking about his victims, Dale.
Okay. And the first one is way before all this, right?
Yeah. In December of 2003, Chris Dunning was supposed to meet his mother, Nancy, for lunch. But she didn't make it that day.
No.
She was
supposed to be going to Target, right? And then meet him after that for lunch.
Exactly. But she was gunned down in their home in Alexandria, Virginia. And she never arrived and didn't answer her phone.
Right. It's like he was wondering where she was. And she knew she was going to Target, so he was just going to backtrack to her steps, I guess.
Yep.
Should say. And on his way to Target, he had to go by their house, and that's when he seen her car there.
Yep.
So he just stopped and went back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he walked into the kitchen and seen mail scattered all over the floor and seen his mother's feet sticking out from around the corner.
Yep. But Nancy was a pretty high-profile real estate agent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This little community of Alexandria called Del Rey. I mean, she was even nicknamed the Queen of Del Rey.
Yeah, fancy.
Yeah, she had boosted this little community and was really big-time real estate.
Yep. And she's married to the sheriff.
Yep, Jim Dunning, sheriff of Alexandria.
Right.
Yes. Which, at the time of her murder, went unsolved. He was actually a suspect for a long time.
Yeah, I thought it might have even been a professional hit the way it was done.
Mm-hmm. But it happened in the middle of the day.
Yeah, right before lunch.
Mm-hmm.
In broad daylight.
So he just walks up to the house, knocks on the door, and guns her down.
Yep, shot her three times. Once in the head, once in the shoulder, once in the arm. But mm-hmm. The shoulder one went through her chest and through her lungs and ripped a major artery, while the one in the head just kind of scrambled her brain because they're using these 22s, so it just kind of bounces around.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so she was dead pretty quick.
Yep. But it was a pretty bad thing.
And then he left.
Yeah.
Didn't take nothing, didn't do nothing.
There was no robbery or anything.
Yep.
He just...
No forensic evidence, nothing.
Yep. But it went unsolved for many, many years.
Yeah. Just because it's crazy, it's just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things that they think that he killed her was to get back at the sheriff. Because on the paperwork of him losing his son, the sheriff's signature was on some of those papers.
Oh, I'm sure.
So this was him getting back.
Right.
Getting back at the man for him losing his son.
Yep.
That's what this was all about.
Yep.
He was angry. He was pissed off.
Flipped his switch.
Yep. Now, we're going to talk about the second victim. His name was Ronald Kirby. And this guy was pretty doggone cold, Dale.
He was.
Yeah, he was. just a little bit of background on Ronald Kirby. He was born in Adelaide, Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And he was he had a bachelor's degree from the University of Adelaide in Australia, and he also had a doctor of philosophy in applied mathematics. So he had a pretty wide range of knowledge. And his job at the time, he was the director of the Department of Transportation Planning and Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. And his job was roads and bridges and transportation in Washington.
Right.
Greater Washington area. I think he even designed the Woodrow Wilson Bridge there in Washington and came up with some plans and designs for the metro there in D.C., which is
like the subway.
The subway, yeah. So this guy was pretty big, big time. But he lived in Arlington, Virginia as well. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
But now he died on November the 11th, 2013. And he was working at home that day. Yep. And there was a knock at the door. And a man came up. And he, Ronald Kirby, went to the door. And he was killed.
Yep. Just opened the door and he started shooting.
Yep.
Said he was laying there, still had his glasses in his hand.
Yeah.
Yep.
When he was found.
That quick.
Bad.
I think his son came over and found him.
Yeah, he did.
So what do you think this guy, what would be the motive for this guy?
I think...
You mad because he made a road that they took
his kid off of? He was mad because of the status he had in Arlington.
Hmm.
Because Charles, he had nothing like that. He'd tried to be somebody, being a mayor and running for Congress and things like that, but he never achieved any kind of notoriety for anything.
Right.
And he didn't like those people who had that status living in Arlington. You know, he was at one time living with his girlfriend, paying $400 rent, and all these other people living in these big mansions and stuff, this really elite neighborhood. And he didn't have that.
Right. And this guy lived fairly close to the first lady, right?
Yeah,
Nancy Dunning. But this was like 10 years later, right?
Yeah, 10 years later.
Yeah. So he killed the first lady and didn't do anything for 10 years.
Mm-mm.
And they still had no clue about nothing.
No clue.
Starts back up. Okay.
Yep. I guess he just got more angrier as time went on.
He's mad.
He's pissed off, bro.
Yeah.
Now, his third and final victim was Ruth Ann Lodato. And she was a mother of three and a music teacher. And she was killed by Charles Severance on February the 6th in her home.
2014.
Yep.
The next year.
Yep. And he had knocked on the door in broad daylight, just like he did with the other two. And she came to the door, and he shot her.
Mm.
There was another lady in the house, and he shot her in the arm, and she did survive her
wounds. Ruth Ann's mother, who had moved in with them, she had a caregiver who was also there. So there was three people in the house this day instead of just one like the other two murders. And then knocked on the door. She opened the door. He shot her. And then the caregiver comes running downstairs, and he shot her too.
Yeah.
And then he fled.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think he just hit her in the arm. And then later Ruth Ann did pass away, but the caregiver lived.
Yeah, and she was able to describe Charles Severance to the authorities.
Yeah, and make a sketch, yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And we've got the sketch. We got a photograph of the sketch, and we'll post it. But they done a really good job.
Right.
Of, you know, getting close to what he looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when this sketch come out, I guess Charles got scared. He got nervous.
Yeah, well, you know, it came up and said they'd went to check on. They had a couple different suspects, and they went to one of their major suspects. And talking to him, and he had an ironclad alibi, but he said, wait a minute, this picture looks like a guy I went to school with. And he gave him the name of Charles Severance.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember this guy's name, but they gave him the name. And that's when they went to the last known address, which was the girlfriend's house, and left the card.
Yeah.
So we're back to where we were, but that's how they're pinned down. And then I think nobody answered the door, so the detective left his card. And then the next morning, Charles emailed him and said he got the card.
Yeah.
But that's all he said.
Yeah. But now, he did get scared, and he went to the Russian embassy there in Washington, D.C., and he tried to seek asylum.
So I guess he saw what it did for Snowden.
Edward Snowden?
Yeah, so he thought it might work for him, too.
Yeah. I think they just laughed him off there.
God, wouldn't that be awful? Help me. They're just like, call the Capitol Police. Come get this clown.
They did. We don't want him.
Yeah, said that he went and parked his car, which was a bright red Ford Escort wagon, in a parking area, and then rode his bicycle to the embassy.
Yeah.
Because I think somebody had seen the car fleeing from run a stoplight or a stop sign.
So they was able to track it down.
Put some pieces together, yeah.
Yeah. Now, after Lodato's killing, tips led police to Charles Severance, and he was arrested at a public library in Wheeling, West Virginia, where he had traveled with his then girlfriend and kicked him out of her Ashburn home and on a gun charge out of Loudoun County.
Yeah, I think he had a credit card alert went off in Wheeling, and that's yeah. what tracked him down.
Yeah, exactly.
So I assume he's probably in there using the internet in probably. The library. Yeah.
Probably. But he, you know, he was arrested and eventually went to trial. And I think the trial lasted for about 6 months. But Charles Severance was found guilty of all three murders and was sentenced to life in prison plus 48 years. Mm. And this happened on January the 20th, 2016. So it hadn't been too long ago.
No, fairly new case.
Yeah, fairly new. And I hadn't heard of this case until recently. But it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, he's quite the character.
Yep. So he did not plead insanity for anything, even though I think, you know, if he would have tried.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about his early life, you know, but, you know, we did find out, you know, that he was once on some meds for his condition, and he just didn't like them. So he didn't like the way he made him feel, so he just come off of them, and it seemed like that was the end of anything anybody tried to do for him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another one of those kind of things where maybe if somebody would have tried a little bit, you know, maybe mm-hmm. helped him. I mean, you know, I don't know, because the dude was, like, super, super smart.
Yep.
Which kind of run into that a lot, don't we?
Yeah. But this guy, you know, he wasn't out for, you know, killing for sex or robbery or yeah. anything. He was just killing to be angry.
He just mad because he took his, you know, his kid. And
yeah.
He focused all that anger on authority.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that kind of stuff.
And he didn't like those people living that lifestyle that he wanted.
Right.
And he picked those people out. That's pretty much Charles Severance. There's a lot more on him. There's a book written about him that you can check out. The former civil attorney there in Alexandria, Virginia, he wrote a book about Charles Severance. And the name of the book is The Parable of the Knocker. And it's a true crime story of prosecutors' fight to bring a serial killer to justice. And this is Brian Porter that wrote this book. So, you know, check it out. It's available on Amazon or, you know, or Audible or anywhere like that.
Right. Yeah, you know, we did leave out a little thing. You know, when they found him in his car and stuff, he had like, what, a 25,000-word manifesto that he had yeah. written and some stuff like that. So, you know, he was like a Unabomber kind of.
Yeah, just random thoughts.
Yep.
Yeah, like I said, he did have a lot of writings in his car that they found. And what was that one they found?
The writing was, it was titled, it was called Knock, Talk, Enter, Kill, Exit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty wild.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was out there, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, the prosecutors during the case, they did allege that he did go out for hatred for the elites.
Hmm.
Yeah. And the general wealthy city of Alexandria. That was pretty much his target.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, they didn't really, you know, he didn't leave no evidence. So, really, if he would have killed a caregiver that second, third murder, they would never know who it was.
No, he's still been out today.
Yeah. Because it's so random. Knock, yeah. knock, knock, you're dead.
Yep.
You just killing people for answering the door.
Yep. Walk up to the house in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And there's these wealthy neighborhoods, and you're not expecting any. The crime rate there is probably pretty low.
Oh, very low, I'd say.
Yep. But that is Charles Severance, serial killer from Alexandria, Virginia, Dale.
Well, he's done.
Yep, he is in prison.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to get out of here.
Let's do it.
We want everyone to be safe, be careful, and always be aware of your surroundings.
Because the next episode could be about you.
This is
the Crack House Chronicles.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.